the killer says, I've killed so many people, I don't even remember them all. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But Kenda's like, there's no reason not to believe him. Like, Kenda says he's the most evil person he's ever met.
Yeah, Kenda says that he thinks he's good for, like, 15 murders.
Yeah, I would believe that, sure.
But ultimately, Kenda's like, well, it doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what I can prove. Hi, Jillian Bentivali.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
This is another Joe Kenda joint. It's Devil in the Mountains on HBO Max Discovery Plus.
I have met only one serial killer in my career. You not only have a murderer, you have somebody who's playing with the remains of all the people I've arrested, charged, and convicted of murder. He's the worst person I've ever dealt with.
Can I just say that Joe Kenda is like a spitfire in this one? I wasn't super into him last time. This, like, he's got so many one-liners that I was like, was sure to write down. Well, Good. My.
That's his big one. It's not a Joe Kenda doc or episode if he doesn't say my.
I mean, so, okay, it's January 26, 1998. We hear a 911 call about a fire in an apartment complex.
Commander Skip Arms, real name, yeah. Is telling us. Skip Arms. I was
not
like, holy
Skip
shit.
Legs Day.
That's a name and a half.
Yeah, totally. He's telling us they put out the fire, they find a body.
And we learn that the body in the apartment is a male.
There were several lacerations to the victim, both front and back. It was so evident that this wasn't a death from the fire, but rather a death from a violent act.
And Larry Martin, the chief of investigations, is like, we have a homicide, so naturally we have to call Joe Kenda. And I'm like, oh, naturally. Then Kenda, paging Patrick Hines, is like, it's 5:30. I was awake anyway. And I'm like, why do you people need a medal?
You should see my note right
time.
Here. It says, it's not a competition, Kenda. 5:30 is running a little late, don't you think, Kenda?
Meanwhile, you're like, it's lunchtime, Kenda.
I'm like, I'm at the gym at 5:30, Kenz.
What is it about these people?
I don't know.
We need a medal about it.
Early, right? It's like the one thing we're good at. It's like, because when you get out of bed at 4 a.m, like I do, it's like you've made one big accomplishment for the day. Like you're up and ready to go. I used to just be able to sit right down on my computer. Now I got to walk the damn dog.
Is that all it takes? Getting out of bed?
It's true.
We all need a medal for that these days.
I know.
So I will cut the shit. But it's like everyone needs to announce. If you wake up before 7 on a regular basis, you need to announce it.
Yes, it's true.
And like, that's what I've learned. I don't necessarily think you have to, but I've learned in my experience that people who wake up early have to tell everyone they wake up early.
There's a meme going around. There's like a guy holding up a poster board that says, did you know that you can go to the gym and not tell anybody?
You know what?
Like, we should change that for those of us who get up at 4. You know, you can get up at 4 a.m. and not tell anybody.
And I will, to make this an even playing field. My thing is, I saw a TikTok the other day that I got served that I immediately sent to Mike where a guy was just so everyone knows, my wife has to wash her hair today. So do what you need to do, but my wife has to wash her hair today. And all the comments are like, you don't know the math and everything that we go through. But I sent it to Mike because I will announce.
Yeah.
He'll ask me a question about like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm literally like, okay, if I'm washing my hair on Wednesday,
yeah.
The dinner should be like, what can I make? Because I don't want it to smell. Like,
let me tell you though, that's not like a direct line. Like my daughter got out of the shower the other day and had so much conditioner left in her hair.
The worst.
I had to put her hair under the kitchen faucet with our little sprayer thing and like wash her hair like we were at a salon.
It's because she probably put too much in the first place, you know?
Yep.
But getting out of the shower and you're like, then you feel it and you're like, God damn it.
I know.
I just did an everything shower. Do you know what I did? Do you know what I got rid of? Do you know what I shaved? Do you know what I cleaned?
I did
the hair mask. I did the whole thing. And then you feel it and it's always right here in the back. And then you're like, I'm lotion.
Yep.
I'm fucking dry. Now I have to go back. It is a nightmare. But my announcement is I tell Mike like when I'm washing my hair and he's like, great.
Well, let me just say here, we're getting a little bit of like personal home life from Kenda.
Yeah.
He's like, there's some frantic dispatcher making announcements about what happened. He's like,
don't tell me anything because I don't want to know what you think you know. First reports are never to be believed. Give me an address. Where am I going? I'll decide what's happened when I get there.
Kenda, we get it. Nobody's better at this than you.
First reports are never to be believed. Now, we've covered cases where that is not true.
Right.
Famously Zodiac, they said it was a black guy. Like, is that racism? Is that whatever? But like, we've seen it where first reports are totally to be believed and first reports
should not
be believed.
This poor dispatcher is just doing their job. They got to tell you something. Oh. Like, they need you to know a little bit about what you're walking into, Kenz.
The attitude. So it's 1988. Kenda has been a cop for 15 years. He's a supervisor in homicide. Mrs. Kenda.
Who does not get a first name.
Who is not happy about his line of work. And he goes, my kids weren't either. I ignored them and my wife and children suffered for it. To which I say, oh, the patriarchy.
Well, my.
He took an oath. We get it.
So Kenda says, you know, as a policeman, you've raised your right hand to do something that's ultimately very dangerous. That's when they give you a gun and a pocket full of bullets.
Okay.
I was like, Kenda.
It was the Wild West.
I know. The thing about Kenda is that the entire time, I like this guy. He's done good work.
Sure.
But like the entire time he was on the police force, he knew he was going to get a TV show someday.
And I wonder, like Kenda today,
right,
how similar he is to Kenda then. Because it feels like, you know, when you tell a story and you get to say, like, oh, and then I said this. Did you say it in the moment or is it better in the storytelling?
He was definitely not walking around the Colorado Springs PD going, well, my. Yeah. He was not doing that.
But I do think, oh, we got a murder. We got to call Kenda. I do believe, you know.
And I got to say one other thing, too. We'll see a picture of him in this moment when he was on the force for 15 years. They show this, like, young, weird-looking Kenda with a perm. Carl Marino does play young Joe Kenda in this now.
From P.I. Moms.
From P.I. Moms. And, like, Carl Marino's a piece of shit, but he's pretty hot. And, ugh, like, the Kenda comparison doesn't quite line up. It's a legit perm. Like, it's not curly hair. He permed his hair.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Kenda is that, goddammit, he wants to get the guy.
He does.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. That, I believe, is why we're all here.
He just kind of thinks that like the 1970s sexism was sexy.
I'm going to rip it apart when we get there.
Okay, great. We're kind of counting on you for that.
Girl, if there's one thing that I'm consistent about.
Truly.
Every day, just a little bit burn in the patriarchy.
100%.
We should all be doing something that's like a little bit, just a tiny bit, just like knock them down.
Yeah.
Pick.
Also, Carl Marino gets one line because we see a reenactment of the crime scene. Young Joe Kenda shows up. Carl Marino rolls up.
Marino?
What did I say?
You got Joey on the line, baby.
What's his name?
Marino,
Carl,
right?
Carl Marino.
What do we got?
What do we got? He gets one line.
I didn't even notice him.
Yeah.
He went right. I was not even paying attention to him.
I had to look it up. I'm like, is this our guy? This is our guy.
Boo.
I know. Girl, Miracle Made Sheets are back. I climb into my bed every night, so thrilled to be there, especially in the summer where these sheets are designed to keep you cool.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not just the summer. It's just perfect temperature all year long. So Miracle Made Sheets are crafted with NASA-inspired silver-infused fabric that helps regulate your body temperature. It doesn't matter. You're a cold sleeper, got you covered. Hot sleeper, got you covered. Doesn't matter.
And they stay clean longer. Like, sheets can get nasty, but thanks to their antibacterial silver technology, Miracle Made Sheets stay clean. Cleaner and fresher up to 3 times longer than regular sheets.
Yeah, that means fewer odors, fewer wash cycles, way less laundry.
It's great for your skin and none of that sheet stink, girl. I just made that up.
Ew.
So fam, upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made Sheets today.
You'll save over 40%. And when you use promo code TCO, you'll get an extra 20% off plus a free 3-piece towel set.
They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk.
That's trymiracle.com/TCO, code TCO at checkout.
Thanks to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
And keeping us cool, girl.
Finally.
Fam, before we get back to the episode, just a quick reminder, if you're not subscribed to us on YouTube, please go do it because we have almost 550,000 subscribers.
That's crazy.
It's growing by the day.
Thank you so much, everybody.
It's so fun. We give really good YouTube. It's really fun to watch us, especially like in this one. This one is wild and crazy.
Crazy.
Go check us out. It's True Crime Obsessed Podcast and Patreon.
Yeah, we have a Patreon where you can get ad-free versions of like regular feed episodes. That's where we do the series like Trust Me.
Yes.
False Prophet. And also where we do like deep dives sometimes, like The Crack. Ash, for example, like I did a full deep dive where I told Patrick and you, dear listener, about the things that maybe Netflix left out, like an hour and 15 minutes. All fun stuff.
Our friend Matt Koplik the other day was like, I just listened to your coverage of the Queen of Versailles, which is the very first thing we ever did on Patreon almost 10 years ago. We also covered Madonna's Truth or Dare on Patreon.
I thought that was the first one.
I can't remember. It was one or the other was first.
It's a blur.
But then it's like The Staircase and
so
like, you know, every like Making a Murderer. We did
Jinx.
20 episodes. The Jinx. All of the classic stuff. Everything that's on Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max. It's all over there.
Yep. Jocanda arrives. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. The fire captain gives him a tour. The scene is totally destroyed. It's a complete mess. He says it's the worst smell you'll ever smell in your life. Just destruction and horror and tragedy and violence.
But it's also clearly arson. He's saying there were multiple spots where fire was initiated and newspaper was used as the accelerant. So somebody killed it. Remember, this guy, the dead body in the room was not killed in the fire.
Right.
So somebody killed this guy and is clearly trying to cover it up with a fire.
Right. Well, let's name him. Our victim is Victor Woods. He's 31 years old. This is his home.
Yes.
He was violently killed. Remember, before the fire, a lot of stab wounds, very, very violent. We know that the person who did this was right-handed.
Yes, because the stabs were coming from the right.
Right. So we have a very, very violent murder, a lot of destruction of the body, and arson. This person really did a number here.
And now this is really disturbing, not for the kids if you're in the car.
So here he is, cut up to pieces. The most disturbing thing is someone has pulled out a section of his intestines. This was not the result of being stabbed. So you not only have a murderer, you have somebody who's playing with the remains. Uh-oh.
The killer cut open his stomach to pull out his intestines.
Awful. Yeah. I mean, whoever did this is a fucking psychopath, violent, murderous piece of shit. Also, though, the person who did this left their blood all over the apartment. And I know it's 1988, but...
Right. Well, by the way, the entire investigation, this is a 90-minute episode, the letters DNA are never used.
Never.
Isn't that wild?
And the reason they're saying it's important now about the blood is that he probably cut his hand.
Yes.
So what they're... And Kenda's it was right in the palm, a very, very painful wound. So what they're looking for now is someone that probably has a very, very big cut on his hand.
Right. So they find a knife. It's a 13-inch kitchen blade. It's covered in blood. It's obviously the murder weapon. Kenta takes one look at the kitchen and he's like, it came from there.
Yeah. There's one knife out of the knife block.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, well, so this is a murder of opportunity. This person came here and just did this horrible thing.
It wasn't premeditated. So it seems like Victor let the guy into his house and something happened and the killer killed him.
Right. Did they know each other? What's going on?
Yeah.
And so there's blood all over the bathroom and we just keep hearing whoever did this had a major injury.
My hand hurt the whole entire time.
Good. Yeah. For him. I hate this guy.
Look what I did to you. Yeah.
So they're calling the hospitals and they're like, do you have a piece of shit with a really bad wound on his right hand? We have an APB for an absolute piece of shit with a bleeding hand.
So they say that the key component in most murder investigations is neighborhood canvassing. This is the pre-DNA days, but I love this. It's the boots on the ground. We're going to go around and see who saw what.
Well, we have a witness. She's an 18-year-old Olympic athlete.
What does she do?
She does karate and judo. Hell yeah.
Except she says karate.
Okay.
And, she does karate.
I gotta tell you, we meet so many women here who are such valuable witnesses.
Yes.
And all they do is demean them and infantilize them. So that it's infuriating.
Yeah.
So she lives in this apartment complex, which is near the Olympic Training Center. She is an Olympic athlete at 18 years old. Remember that?
Yes.
So she's you know what? I was having trouble sleeping. She needs to stretch out her back because she's been working so hard as an Olympic athlete.
She's going to the vending machine because this girl needs her Cheetos.
Yeah.
When you go to a vending machine, there is one item in there and it is Cheetos.
I love how it's ooh, I got to stretch my back. You know what'll do the trick? Getting those Cheetos. I'm the same way. Oh, I've got a back stretch.
I would never ever buy Cheetos except every time I'm at an airport, I always get a bag of Cheetos for the plane.
Airports don't mean anything because you can drink at any time. Yeah. You order things, you eat things and drink things you never would in the real world. It's not real.
Cheetos. I don't know what it is, but Cheetos is my airplane food.
Yeah. Good for you.
I love them. So we learn she heard, as she's at the vending machine hitting B4 for the Cheetos, she hears a muffled argument coming out of apartment 104. This is the apartment where the fire was. She says she can't tell what they're saying, but they're yelling at each other, and then it stopped.
And while she was outside, she saw a guy run up to the apartment complex and get into what she described as a muscle car.
And I asked her, so tell me about this car. Anything different about it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hot. Oh, yeah? How do you know? I could hear it.
never in my life have I heard this expression before. A muscle car.
I have that. What I hadn't heard is Kenda going, the car's got throat. I know what that means. I'm a car guy. And I'm like, Kenda, I know what that means too. It means that this guy is an insecure loser who thinks having a loud, obnoxious car makes him more of a man. But in reality, he's like telling on himself and irritating everybody.
You know what I hate about myself? I get scared by those cars every time. The point of those loud mufflers is to scare the shit out of the people on the street.
Talk to Fiona about this.
I know.
Poor little girl hates them. The loud ass motorcycles, the loud ass cars. I hate them.
It makes me so angry. Like every time it happens, it makes me so mad.
And everyone who has a car like this or a vehicle like this
is a serial killer.
Like it's not doing what you think it's doing.
No.
It's not just annoying people. It's making them angry. It's scaring the dogs.
Yes.
It's just, you're not cool. You're an insecure loser.
Kenda saying the car had throat. I know what that means because I'm a car guy. The car had throat. Oh my God.
We don't like that. If you're trying to get people's attention in the good way, people don't like that.
And by the way, they let him go on. He pontificates. I've always loved cars. I've had every kind of car you can imagine. Okay. Kenda.
Okay. The point is, Kenda, these cars are super annoying and obnoxious, but this is kind of great for the case because it's a very, very, very specific car to look for.
And it means that this guy like left in a vehicle. Right. So now we've got something to look for.
But the bad thing is that the apartment is right near the entrance to I-25.
Interstate 25 starts in El Paso, Texas, runs through the states of New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, and into Montana. So there is a four-lane pathway leading you into three quarters of the western United States.
So this guy's in the wind and has been for hours.
They'll tell us later, I-25 goes from Mexico basically to Canada. And like this guy's got hours of a head start. He could be anywhere.
Right. So it's March 26, 1988. And now we're in Pueblo, Colorado, 2 months later.
Yeah. We meet Roger Gomez. He's a detective on the local police. I love this guy. He tells us about a rancher named Mr. Sykes. And Mr. Sykes calls the cops because he was on horseback looking for a baby calf that had gone missing. But he found something else that he wasn't looking for. And this guy, Lee, who's friends with the rancher who found this thing, says, you gotta listen to your horse. It helps you find what you're looking for in addition to other things you might not want to find.
Well, like this horrible, like this decomposed torso of a human being. Also, way too many photos.
So
way too many. Production, can we not?
They show us so, I cannot believe this was not blurred.
I can't
they
either.
Show us this decomposing human torso from every angle imaginable all throughout this episode.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
Not cool production.
No.
Not cool.
No. So Detective Roger gets to the site. He immediately knows what it is. Kenda tells us there's no head, there's no hands. And then he says, well, who could do that? Well, somebody did.
Kenda. Get it. We're trying to get the guy. And this is horrible because they discover the legs away from the torso. It is so brutal.
Yeah.
We see so many photos of it. And we're told that the body is, quote, mummified and the dry air has caused this. So this body's been here for months. And we're told that, like, the silver lining, if you can even call it that, is that it sort of helps preserve the body. So maybe we can get some answers to a lot of our questions. Maybe.
Can I just say that Kenda at this point also says, because the hands and the head have been cut off, which obviously is it was meant so that you wouldn't be able to identify the body.
Right.
He goes, at this point, there's no way to identify him other than being human. And being dead.
Okay, you know what? The mansplaining is on a different level here. I get it.
Other than being human and being dead.
So we have no evidence to work from. There's no blood anywhere. Like not even a dried blood stain or anything. Like this body was definitely placed here and something horrible happened before and after.
So they bring the coroner out because they can't figure out a cause of death on the scene. They bring the coroner out looking for impact wounds, puncture wounds, dismemberment.
The doctor finds a jagged cut line on the neck. The jagged cut line reveals this was done with a saw blade of some kind. The doctor finds a similar pattern on the wrist bones.
The head was cut off with some kind of saw blade.
Right. So now, like, meanwhile, back to Colorado Springs, who is Victor Woods, the victim from the fire, but the fire was set after he was brutally killed?
Yeah.
They immediately notify his friends and family in the area. And we meet Rick, who's Victor's best friend. Vic was the best man at his wedding. We meet him and his wife, Linda. And they loved Victor so much. They are stunned.
They're just talking about, like, his personality and his charisma. Like, everybody just loves him. Everybody is shocked. And so they tell us that Vic was from Zanesville, Ohio. He was a manager at a bike shop in Colorado Springs. And, like, we're going to learn later, this guy loved bikes. Like, loved it. Like, working at a bike shop was, like, his dream job. He had it. He was very happy.
I have to tell you, I know I say this all the time, but I love when people find what they love and they do it 100% and they're awesome at it.
Remember that guy who was a doctor of finding shit on the internet?
Yeah, literally. Totally. That was his lower third. In my mind. But he's, like, well-known. Like, he's an expert and the go-to guy. Like, he's sort of famous around town. If you have any bike issue, question, whatever, like, go to Victor. And I just love when people find their thing.
Me too.
And they nail it.
We're doing it right now.
Is that? I guess so.
You know, we found her. That's why I get up at 4 a.m, girl.
Tears.
I know. Almost 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Girl, Built is back. This is all about getting points for paying your rent, paying your mortgage, and other things. You've been using it.
Yeah, I've been using it. So the Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Amazon.com purchases, like future payments. But I've been using them for Lyft rides.
Yes.
So I linked it up with my Lyft, and then it'll say pay with points. And I'm like, don't mind if I do.
What?
It's amazing.
That's basically like a free ride for paying your mortgage.
That's what I'm saying. Even if it's a few bucks, I'm like, I'll take a few bucks off. That was
totally
money.
Oh my God.
And it's not just Lyft. It's connected to over 50,000 merchant partners.
Yeah, you can ask it to pay your rent. We're talking making dinner reservations, book a fitness class, schedule a Lyft if you're GP.
There you go.
Also, girl, an unexpected benefit Built gives every member is access to its agentic neighborhood concierge in the Built app.
And it makes things happen while automatically applying your member benefits along the way. That's what I was saying. It literally says, like, I didn't have to update my Lyft app. I just had to connect it.
Totally.
Pay with points, bada bing, bada boom.
So this concierge, it doesn't just give you information about your home and your neighborhood. It executes, girl.
Right. I'm living proof. I just did it today.
So here's what you do. First, you download the app. Second, you link any credit or debit card to the app. And then you can ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything.
Yeah, this is great. I'm using it on a regular basis.
So fam, download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/TCO.
That's joinbuilt.com/TCO.
Use our link so they know that we sent you.
Yeah, enjoy the free money.
So the detective contacts Victor's apartment manager and, like, I'm kind of ready to learn that Victor was, like, a real piece of shit.
No, of course not.
He was amazing. The apartment manager's like, no problems. He paid his rent in full on time every month. Like, life was really good for this guy.
He was a model tenant, you know?
Yeah.
And so, however, the manager knew that Victor was kind of having a lot of problems with his business partner, David McCarty.
And oftentimes in a business relationship, there may be a lot of money involved. One person's action may have a real negative impact on the other partner and create a lot of anger.
Money is stressful within families, but when it's money involving a livelihood, I think that really ratchets up the tension.
Whatever the issue was, it was causing a lot of money problems. There was, like, a lot of stress, a lot of tension. We were told they were fighting pretty often. Like, this isn't a new development that they were fighting. There was a lot of tension for, like, quite some time.
So Kenda theorizes, what if David came over and things got out of hand? Quote, David grabs a kitchen knife and decides to dance with Victor.
And I'm like,
I know.
Kenda, like, it goes, and he goes on and on and on and on about how, like, a tense business relationship, that's something to look into. And I'm like, we know.
But, like, he decides to grab a kitchen knife and dance with Victor. Kenda. Like, oh my God.
Like,
Kenda's been writing the script in his head for 50 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. So Kenda and company go to the bike shop and talk to David, the business partner.
So David, this poor son of a bitch, they're ready for, this is the guy. In Kenda's mind, like, this is definitely the guy. David comes hobbling out in what Kenda describes as basically a full body cast.
Well, it's crutches on his leg. Because remember, Kenda,
like, he was hobbling, he was pale-faced, he was sweating, he could barely walk.
Because Kenda's looking for that injury on the hand. That's the big thing.
Yes.
Right? So he does have major injuries, but not what they were looking for.
No, and he's like, is a guy, like, in a basically full body cast and crutches going to be able to, like, tussle with a 30-year-old, like, fit young guy? Probably not.
And the cast is old and covered in signatures,
right,
which is sweet.
Totally.
I thought that was very
cute. Props to the props department on that one, by the way.
Kenda's like, the guy didn't do this. Who's going to hold his crutches?
Kenda,
not the time. But they still want to talk to him. I get it. He was still very close to Victor. Like, I would want to talk to him as well. But David, the business partner, is super honest because he goes,
he reports, yeah, there's money problems in the business. And Victor had ideas and I disagreed with him and we argued about it. But eventually I came around to his way of thinking and we were going to start doing a few of the things that he suggested.
He had a really great idea. He was going around to the local hotels and getting the hotels to rent bikes from the shop for their guests to use for free.
Yeah, great idea.
Like, Victor's got really good business ideas. He wants this business to work.
And David really admits, like, I was kind of fighting him on it, but he was right. And at the time of Victor's murder, it's just so sad. They were both, like, on the same page, reconciled, excited about their business.
Yes. Kendall was ready for this big, like, gotcha, you son of a bitch, you killed him.
No.
But he doesn't get that. He's got to tell David that his, like, dear friend has been murdered. This poor fucking guy in a full-body leg cast crumples into a chair. Kenda still takes the opportunity to look at his palm on the way down and make sure it doesn't have a slash on it.
Yeah, just to be extra, extra sure.
Kenda, this is not the guy.
It's not the guy. Well, let's go to the Yukon Tavern. This is Victor's favorite bar. He was a regular there. He was a member of one of the pool leagues. No one is worse at pool than I am. Nobody.
Is that right?
Terrible.
Even I'm okay at pool.
Terrible. It never feels right in it is always awkward. I have no strength or confidence when I'm hitting it. It's always a very weak, what
Those
do you even
are the
call
two
it?
Things, yeah.
Can't do it.
You know where I always look like such a moron is when you rack the balls and then you got to break?
Yeah.
Because like you're supposed to hit it in like such a way that it
very coolly goes everywhere.
You know, like explode. Never. I get like the blue nine rolls off that way.
I'm not very cool. Anyway, but like me holding a pool cue and trying to get it. And then I'm like, oh, are people walking behind me? Bars.
It's because you're so polite.
Can we put the pool table a little bit out of the way? Because the people playing pool are never aware of who's behind them.
I know.
And I'm dodging the pool cue. I want them to play.
My favorite, though, is that, do you know they make a small pool cue? So for like the tight shots where you got to get around, they're like, you can actually get the small one.
Right. And even that thing where that, like, the little training wheels where you have the thing, it still doesn't work. I'm still an awkward mess.
It's one of those things where it has, like, the divots in it and you can, like, put it down and then put your cue in it.
I don't know how people can look so, like, effortless and cool holding a pool cue. Oh, my God.
No, pool is a cool game. I'll never understand the guy who can do the trick shot or the gal who can do the trick shot or the they-them that can do the trick shot where it's like...
Or calling it.
Yeah, no.
Corner pocket.
God, are you kidding me? Get out of here.
I'll watch. I'll cheer.
Totally.
Could never be me, however.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, Victor was great at it. Another thing that, like, Victor's very good at.
Yeah. And they pull up and they see Victor's car is parked out front. Like, it's the daytime now.
Okay, this is a big lead, right?
It's a big lead because obviously Victor had been there, but he also didn't drive home. So somehow he got home by means of somebody else.
And so the bar—
is another way of saying he didn't get home by himself.
Right.
Did I do
it? I was just going to let you have it. They talk to the bartender and they're like, oh my God, of course I know Victor. He's here all the time. He never causes any trouble. He gets along with everyone.
Generally, he was a quiet individual. On this particular night, he seemed to be drinking a little bit more boisterous, a little bit more obnoxious.
The bartender says he starts an argument with some people and it winds up going out in the parking lot and there is a fight.
And he was drinking more and he was kind of getting a little obnoxious. The bartender had to cut him off. And I'm like, this doesn't sound like the Victor we knew. Like,
this
something
doesn't
happened.
Sound like not my Victor.
No.
And even best friend Rick is like, well, he doesn't really drink a lot, but when he does drink, he gets a little bit annoying and it can make people mad.
A fight breaks out. They have to take it outside. Spills out into the parking lot.
That is crazy.
Do you think someone said, you want to take this outside? Or did it just like end up
like
outside?
Yeah, or like some smart woman was like, assholes, take this outside.
Has anyone, dear listeners, has anyone like been in a fight or involved a fight where someone was actually like, let's take this outside and then you went outside and fought? Or is that only in the movie?
That only happens on Mob Wives. You know what I mean? As far as I know.
Outside? No, they're
Karen.
Flipping those goddamn tables.
I know.
At Emilio's.
I also do love, too, that Kenda here decides to tell us about something called liquid courage.
I'm like, stop mansplaining liquid courage.
Let me tell you what happens when you drink alcohol.
They begin to believe that they are somehow a professional boxer because they've had 13 beers. We know.
Like, that's crazy.
But I did appreciate him saying bar fights are almost always over nothing, which is very, 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 very
and
true.
Because the thing is, like, they find all the guys involved in the bar. The thing about a bar fight, I've never been in one, but I've been in fights in bars, but never fist fights. Just like gay fights.
Right.
Where it's like,
just like
somebody
bitching.
Didn't like the last season of The West Wing or something, and then that really escalates.
Oh.
Somebody didn't watch the TV show Popular, and like that can get out of hand. Somebody didn't like Mayhem by Gaga, and like you just, that can only go in one direction.
Okay, not a fan of the ending of The West Wing, the last season.
Oh. We're doing this now?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the show Popular?
Well, Popular was just like, it was like the first like Ryan Murphy joint, and it was just
that's
like—
That's a Ryan Murphy show?
It's like one of the very first Ryan Murphy shows.
Charlie Pope?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a Charlie Murphy. Sorry.
See, here we go
wrong
again.
Guy.
What do you think about the album Mayhem by Lady Gaga?
I I don't know.
Okay.
What do I think about it?
You love it.
I love
it. Great. Yeah, yeah. It's so good.
Okay.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, all of the guys, because, like, in the moment, it's the most intense fight. Everyone is so madder than they've ever been. But now the cops are questioning these guys. They're like, oh, it's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah,
like, in the clear light of day, the next morning, like, we didn't even remember what that was
about. And no one actually got hurt. It was just, like, a stupid thing. So no one from the bar is a suspect. They tell us that they spoke to literally everybody.
Kanda's, like, looking at every palm he can find.
Yeah, like, and there are, that's the most important thing. There are no, like, major cuts on someone's hand. And I'm like, okay, well then why is Victor's car still in the parking lot? Who gave him a ride home? What happened
and
here?
And, like, importantly, he lived, like, many miles away, so it's too far to walk. He couldn't have walked. Girl, Salt and Stone is back. Look, that is that awesome deodorant. Can I tell you, since I have switched, I have never had, I don't ever wear cologne. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wear this deodorant and I get, like, stopped and complimented about it.
I mean, you smell like a luxury hotel
Thank
or
you.
Spa.
I thought you'd never mention.
You know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
But it's true. It's a deodorant, but it also can absolutely double as a fragrance.
Well, exactly.
No question.
Exactly. So, fam, Salt and Stone has a discovery set, right? And they've got their four scents. It's Santal, Bergamot, Saffron, and Neroli.
You know my favorite is Santal. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it has vetiver in it, and nothing ever has vetiver in it.
Oh my goodness.
I love it.
Talk dirty to me, GP.
I will.
This deodorant is award-winning. It's aluminum-free and formulated for 48-hour protection.
Do you know that today they sell one deodorant every 5 seconds?
I believe it. This stuff smells that good.
It's so good.
So fam, try Salt and Stone's discovery set to find your signature scent.
Go to saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout for 15% off your first order.
That's saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO for 15% off your first order.
You're gonna smell amazing.
You are.
Luxury.
Girl, Jolie is a new sponsor.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
So Jolie is a beauty wellness company with a clinically proven filtered shower head.
Oh my God.
Designed to remove chlorine and heavy metals and all of these things that can possibly damage your skin and hair. We're not doing that.
So let me tell you. So Daisy goes to camp every day now. She swims in that chlorine-filled pool. We put this in Daisy's shower. I don't know if I wasn't expecting much, but, like, I always do her hair when she comes out of the shower, and it was beyond a noticeable difference. It was like she got her real hair back in one shower.
Yeah, and at first I was like, oh, a new shower head. That just feels kind of like a scary change.
Totally.
It installs in minutes. It fits all showers. It delivers amazing pressure, and it just elevates any space. It feels fancy.
Let me tell you, it took a minute to get her out of the shower. She was, like, dancing around. Like, showering's not her favorite thing. It might be now.
And I have to tell you, that feeling of, like, you think you rinsed everything, but then you didn't, and you get out of the shower, and you're like, now I have to do it all again. I just did one everything shower.
I'm so used to her getting out of the shower with stuff still in her hair.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. And yeah, like, Jolie is kind of like the baseline. If you have a skincare and hair care routine, that's the first thing. Because if your water isn't right, then nothing else is really performing the way it should.
And let me tell you, it's cool and chic looking. Like, Daisy's was just, like, a standard thing, and now it's, like, fancy.
It's so nice.
She
and they have a lot of different colors that can really match whatever finish your shower has.
Yep.
Very cool.
So fam, try Jolie risk-free for 60 days by going to jolieskinco.com/TCO.
That's jolieskinco.com/TCO. Jolie is also available online on Amazon and Costco, both online and in store. So now we're back with the body that was found in Pueblo.
Yes.
With the torso. We're seeing way too many photos once again.
Yeah, and they're doing the autopsy. And Officer Roger, I gotta say, he was, like, very interested in this. And they allowed him to sit in on the autopsy, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. So in relation to that, on May 7th, 1988, just a few months later,
there was a second call that came in to the Pueblo County Sheriff's Office in the Rye area. There was people on the trail, and they came across what appeared to be bones, but they weren't even sure if it was human bones until they actually saw the skull.
Someone calls to report finding bones on a hiking trail by a ravine, specifically a skull, aka parts that are missing from the torso that they have.
So it's 20 miles away, and, like, Officer Roger, who sat in on the autopsy, is like, all right, I'm thinking to myself, stay calm, girl. Don't jump to conclusions. Let the scientific evidence support what you think before you open your mouth. I was like, okay, Roger.
Because he's wondering, is everything they found at this ravine part of this torso? Like,
I mean,
that doesn't have a head, but now we have a head.
I know it's 20 miles away, but, like, if it's not, like, we're in big fucking trouble. Like, if there's a
torso— We are anyway, girl. I got news for you.
I know, it's only 1988. But it's like, there's a torso over here, and then 20 miles away, there's a skull and, like, hand bones. Like, please, dear God.
Well, it's not just that, though.
Yeah.
So they search the scene, and they find a pair of black leather gloves, a cord to Venetian blinds, a black plastic bag, a blood-covered saw blade.
And all of this, by the way, they say is within throwing distance of the road.
And the cops are saying, okay, this is what they used to dismember the body. Here's the issue now. I say this with love in my heart.
Yeah.
Wildlife destroys evidence. It's no shade.
Well,
we love wildlife.
You to know that when a body's left in a wooded rural area, you are no longer mama's baby boy anymore. You're lunch.
I know. Kendra, we've been saying that for 10 years.
I know.
Okay.
You're absolutely
so
right.
No shade to...
Oh, you're lying.
I know. Bitch, stole my line. No. It's just, again, it's just a fact. No shade to the wildlife. We love you.
Yeah.
But
they
like,
gotta eat.
You just do this sometimes.
Yes.
And so like, this can sometimes make it difficult for evidence in cases, and then evil people will use this to their advantage.
Right.
And then the animals, unbeknownst to them, are like, oh, lucky us, like, we don't have to hunt today. And then they don't know. And then they feel bad. Oh, my God, I didn't mean to destroy evidence. I'm so sorry. But what was I supposed to do? I'm an animal.
There's a raccoon out there right now hanging his head in shame.
And this is my home.
Yes.
And you trespass.
Like, if someone throws a pizza into your living room, you're probably going to eat it.
Probably. You-
Not, and I don't mean to make light of, like, this person's suffering. But,
no.
Like, just to take the metaphor to the obvious conclusion.
Yeah.
If someone throws a pizza, if a raccoon throws a pizza into your living room, you're going to eat it.
I'm sharing it with a raccoon.
For sure.
That's what we're going to do.
100%.
So no shade to the animals. I'm just saying it's a fact.
Yeah.
So the cops now take everything back with them from this ravine. And now it's up to the science. And like, the science is going to tell them if these scenes are connected, and science says yes.
When you use a tool like a saw, what it does is it causes markings on both sides, the torso and the neck. Once you have the head and the torso and you can reunite them, where the saw was, where it cut through, is going to match on either side.
And they're able to connect the bottom part of the body to the top part of the body through, like, through the saw blade.
Right. So the skull they found belongs to the same body that they have in the morgue, the torso from the field.
They also see, because now they've got the skull, that there's a huge chunk of the skull missing on the right side. So Dr. Kramer, the coroner, determines that this was caused by a gunshot wound, which explains how the John Doe died.
So I'm thinking, who is this person? And is this case connected to Victor Woods? Now, right on time, we go back to the Victor Woods story.
Yeah.
Did he take a cab home? So they were calling all the local cab companies. He did not take a cab home, but one of the gals driving a taxi has information. I just want to say something.
One of the small boned, weak-minded little ladies?
Driving a cab.
As a woman?
Can be extremely dangerous for a woman, especially in the 80s. So maybe let's not infantilize her when she has valuable information to the case that you wouldn't have without her.
Well, and we're just getting started, because according to Kenda, there's one specific reason why she has this information.
Right. So, but she was in the parking lot of the bar and is a witness to something very important, because she says she was there when the bar fight was happening in the parking lot, and it started inside, poured into the parking lot. After the fight was over, this witness says someone went up to Victor, and this guy and Victor went into the mystery guy's car.
Now, according to Kenda, this lady cannot get over how fucking hot the guy was that went up to Victor.
He's incredibly good looking. Movie star handsome were her words. And he has a tan, a magnificent suntan. People notice things that are out of the ordinary. It's the middle of winter. Where'd he get a suntan?
So, two things. It's the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Where did this guy get a tan?
Right. But, like, I just want to say, Kenda describes this woman as drooling.
Like, I don't buy that.
Of course not. The only reason, according to Kenda, that this woman paid any attention to this guy, like, she's the key witness in this whole thing, is because he was hot. No, this lady is a cabbie who has to have eyes in the back of her head to stay the fuck alive.
Right.
And that's why. She's got, like, smart instincts. She's like, something is going on here. She paid attention, and she's helping your investigation, Ken.
And most importantly, the car, it was one of those fuck-ass, loud-ass cars.
Yes.
It was super loud, just like the car the Olympic athlete
also
told us about.
A woman.
Also a woman.
And you know when this piece of shit turned on his, what do they call it, a muscle car?
Whatever.
You know she rolled her eyes. You know that cabbie was like, oh, God.
I don't like that.
Nobody likes
it. It's not impressive.
It's not.
It's annoying.
No.
It irritates me. It's a day ruiner.
Yeah.
And Fiona hates it.
I know.
All the dogs hate it. Like, I've been, like, walking Fiona, and all the dogs and humans, like, are startled. It's annoying.
Can I just say one more thing about the good looks on this guy? I feel like this is Kenda.
Alleged good looks.
Well, We'll get there when we get there. But I also, she looks away from me. She can't even look at me.
Ugly from within.
But I feel like this is Kenda taking the opportunity for him to give, because Kenda says it again. Kenda is going to like describe him
as 800
pretty.
More times.
It's unbelievable. That's all.
Okay. Kenda, focusing on all the wrong kind of details
here. Exactly.
The car is a blue Trans Am.
Okay. Back to the good details.
Let's track it down because whoever's driving it is our main suspect now.
For sure.
So let's fucking find him. Meanwhile, back in Pueblo, we have like the unidentified body that now we've connected to these two horrible things that happened.
Yeah.
But this guy, Sergeant Roger Gomez, has no idea about Victor Woods. Like, he doesn't know the Victor Woods case exists.
Yes.
But us as the viewers, we're like, well, this has to be connected somehow. Why are we here?
There's a lot of objectification of the men in this, because one of our men says to us,
when this body was found, the torso was found, the body was very muscular, which indicated that this person worked out a lot.
Meaning this person worked out a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right. Okay. So now let's go into that scene, I guess, the workout scene. I guess they're trying to like connect the dots.
My thing was like, God, if something this tragic ever happens to me, can they just be like, well, he had a little bit of muscle on him. You know what I mean? What a nice thing to say about
a dead body. I saw this meme. I don't know if it's fake or not, but someone did like 48 hours, I think, did an episode where the thing they said about someone that was like, she loved eating chicken wings at state fairs or something. And I saw the TikTok and the person was like, can we not 48 hours? Like, there was nothing else you could have said about this person.
I thought you were going to do the Dateline. Do you like eating chicken wings at state fair? Let us know.
Have you ever
Dateline.
Ate chicken wings with someone? Have you ever had chicken wings with someone? Have you ever worked in the same line of work as your parent?
Totally. Totally.
Dateline, we don't have time.
Oh my God. I had to guide Gold. Somebody dumped like a box of chicken wing bones, like in front of our apartment the other night.
I think that was a tragedy for them. I don't think they dumped it. I think something happened to them.
You're right.
And then suddenly the chicken wings are on the ground. And then like an asshole, they didn't clean it up.
They didn't clean it up. And like, that is that's all dogs want.
It's so dangerous too, because right down the throat, it's bad. Like,
I know.
Cut to you
crying
reaching down the throat.
It out of his mouth at 4 a.m. when I woke up.
Did everyone feel that? That was my eye roll. If you felt like, oh, what was that?
4 a.m., time to take the dog out and save his goddamn life.
It's the worst thing for a dog to pick up on the show.
Yeah.
It's so bad. So we meet Glenn Ferguson. He walks into Sergeant Gomez's office to report a missing person named Paul Vasica. He's been missing 4 months. And I'm like, for months?
I know.
Months?
What the fuck took so long to report him missing?
So Paul is Glenn's stepson. Paul is a bodybuilder.
Yes.
And so his sister Robin says he was a really great guy. And unfortunately, he recently started running with the wrong crowd. Now, what does that mean?
She says, yes, Paul has always been a bodybuilder. Works out constantly, became interested in steroids, and that led him down a path of the use of drugs. And he got involved in drug running.
According to the sister, Robin, this got him involved in, quote, drug running.
And he was in way over his head.
Way over his head.
He was just in a lot of danger. It's just not a good... The steroids, it never leads to anything good.
And can I just say, Robin's like, Paul was in way over his head. There was one guy in particular that Paul would hang out with. He was very good looking.
But also a total nightmare. So I'm like, oh, like movie star looks, you say, and a tan and a nightmare? That's what the badass lady in the cab driver said.
Kenda jumps in to say he was movie star pretty. Kenda!
But then...
Is there something you want to tell us, Joe?
No. But then, like, here's the worst, I think, if we're rating my's.
Yeah.
This is, he goes, my, you've been busy, Mr. Good-looking tan guy. And I'm like, that's the best we can do.
I know.
You've been sitting on this case since 1988, and he sounds like Phoebe Buffay.
Yeah,
he's like,
totally.
Mr. Good-looking tan guy. And I'm like, that's what we got?
It's also the only one, my, we get in the whole episode.
I think he drops one every time.
One
I think because you can't do, then it loses its
I guess you're right.
Efficacy.
Well, my.
And I'm like, this is been... 50 years in the making, this is what we have. Good looking, tan guy.
I know. Girl, ButcherBox is back. It is summertime. It is grilling time. And fam, ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed beef, organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more, all sourced to standards they can actually tell you about.
Yeah, they've already done the research and made the tough sourcing decisions. So all you have to do is decide what's for dinner.
Literally, we have a freezer full of salmon, steak, pork shoulder, ribs. Every night, it's like a meat wonderland.
Yeah, and everyone wants to make sure, I mean, at least where I am, that like, I want to do the right thing.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't want to go to some like shady place. And especially with the seafood, like the salmon is so fresh and so good. And you know, like it doesn't smell fishy.
Yes.
It doesn't. It's just so fresh.
When we switched from grocery store to Butcher Box, it was like literally night and day.
Yeah, so good.
So fam, if you're looking for an easier way to get great meals on the table, give Butcher Box a try.
Go to butcherbox.com/TCO and get $20 off your first box. Plus your choice of free ground beef for life or free chicken thighs or top sirloins in every box for a year with free shipping always.
That's butcherbox.com/TCO.
Again, that's butcherbox.com/TCO. Be sure to use our link so they know we sent you.
Don't make her say it again, fam.
Now, on top of all of this, like it can't get any worse, we have a robbery.
Yeah.
And a security guard and a desk clerk have been shot at the Hampton Inn. The desk clerk is named Raymond Garcia. He was killed. The security guard, Robert Martinez, survived. And we're here with Raymond, the one who was killed, his sister and his cousin.
His sister, Lori, is just like sobbing. George, the cousin, is just going on and on about how like amazing he was, like killed in like the prime of his youth. Like he was just such a good guy. And we even learn
Ray was supposed to be working like 5 days before and he switched with the girl because it was her birthday. So they switched and he was there the wrong time. But that was him. He would do whatever for anybody.
Raymond wasn't supposed to be working that night. He picked up a shift for a woman that he worked with because it was her birthday. And Lori's like, that's just the kind of guy that he was. And I'm like, that, like, the tragedy that happened to Raymond is just beyond awful. Like, that poor guy, the poor family. The woman who was supposed to be working that night has probably lived with survivor's guilt every minute of her life ever since.
It's awful all around. And then, like, if Raymond didn't take the shift, he would have felt bad that he didn't because it's a tragedy across the board, no matter what.
And we learned the security guard who survived, this guy's name is Robert Martinez. He's being treated at the hospital. And Kenda tells us, like, he's the only witness. There is nobody else. There was nobody in the lobby. There was nobody milling around. Like, this Martinez security guard is our best shot at getting a description of this guy. But he's, like, in the hospital in critical, unstable condition.
Shot in the jaw.
In the he was meant to be killed.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Like, the killer, like, thought that he killed him.
So now we learn about the Rocky Mountain Information Network that Joe Kenda's taking 100% credit for. But fine. I think this is great. Because it was developed in the 70s. It's like basically a database. It's a way for law enforcement to share information with other jurisdictions.
Which is kind of amazing. Like, if they could have done this in the Pacific Northwest, maybe we could have gotten Bundy before he killed the 14 other people.
A great number of people.
You know what I mean?
And like, also, you can search, like, cut on hand.
Yes,
cut on right hand. Like, you can search things and you can share information for kind of, like, weird things that might connect a case to another one.
It's also, like, this is the pre-computer age. Like, the agencies were working really hard to make this happen. Like, it's a pretty amazing thing that does, like, really good work here.
And then sort of, I guess it stopped and then we don't do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So this robbery slash murder slash attempted murder is reported in the network. And Joe Kenda was like, I was obsessed with this thing. I was like adamant that I get every alert that has ever happened in any location ever just in case. And so he gets this alert for the Hampton Inn robbery.
And he's like thinking like, this has to be our guy.
Also, who robs a Hampton Inn?
Well, but that's
can you have a lot of money there? No, right?
And like, this is even like, I don't know exactly when the credit card made its debut or whatever, but like, you know, I remember working in service as I did for almost 20 years. Like, cash was like there when I was a bartender in like the early 2000s, you'd still get a fair amount of cash. By the time I stopped being a bartender in like 2010, there was like almost no cash. Everybody's paying for everything with credit cards.
Yeah.
And so like that's how hotels work too. Like everybody's paying for everything with credit cards. So this killer made away with only $500 in cash.
Right.
Was willing to kill two people for $500. Like that's how desperate and sick this person is.
Well, guess what? Robert Martinez, the security guard who was shot in the jaw, is awake. He's okay. He survived.
Yeah.
And he has valuable information.
Yeah.
So he says he walks into the Hampton Inn. He sees the armed robbery in progress. And he says the gunman notices him, the security guard, and says, I'm going to kill you. And then shoots him in the face.
Yeah. So then he like falls over. He's semi-conscious. He's not dead.
So he said he heard the man walk into the other room where Raymond Garcia was. And he heard the shot.
At the end of that conversation with Martinez, Martinez said the last thing he remembered is he heard a muscle car drive off.
He hears the fatal shot.
And that fuck-ass, loud-ass car.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Even in this horrible moment where he's traumatized, he hears ringing, he's barely awake, he hears that stupid car.
The fucking muscle car.
What a loser.
I know. I know. And so now they got to find the car. So they send patrols out running the entire length of I-25. This is where they tell us from Mexico almost to Canada. It's like, guys, this isn't the system.
And then Kenda...
Were APBs not a thing yet?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Kenda says the worst thing he says in this whole documentary.
What's he say?
He goes, well, we have to go back to what the athletic girl said.
Oh.
She is an Olympic athlete.
I know.
She's an Olympic athlete.
You know that if when he met her in an interview, he called her sweetheart.
100%.
And thank you, sweetheart.
I don't know why they are constantly diminishing the women in the story, who, by the way, are always giving them very valuable information.
The athletic girl.
Olympic athlete. How dare you?
And like, they delayed her Cheeto gratification.
Are you kidding me?
You know what I mean?
Anyway, guess what, everyone? It's all the same guy. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
Obviously, right?
Now we learn there's a girlfriend. So the Pueblo cops get a call from a woman who has information on who did the Hampton Inn robbery. And she comes in and tells them about her piece of shit boyfriend, a guy named Ronald White. Now, this is where we see this guy's picture for the first time. And I was so ready to be like, that guy's movie star... Oh, he kind of is.
No, keep going.
I was like,
had it right the first time.
That guy's, but like, that's the only time I'm going to say it. Like this guy, at the very least, and I was thinking like, I guess it really doesn't take that much to stand out as kind of hot because he's like just above average hot.
That's why they're saying that, because he's a brutal murderer. So they want to keep saying he doesn't look like a murderer, but we're past that now, Kenda.
Yeah.
Like we know that... evil people are everywhere and they look all different ways.
They show us one picture of him where I'm like, why didn't you just go be a model? Like, why did you have to do all of this?
Because evil people are going to be evil people.
I mean, and that's really true. Like, this guy is literally evil from the inside.
But this woman says what every other woman has said. Maybe he looked like a movie star, if that helps you, Joe Kenda, but he was a fucking nightmare. And then this is where Kenda says,
there is an old expression, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. It's been my experience. That's very true. Ronald Lee White is about to learn this lesson.
This is also tied for first with the worst thing he said.
Jaw on the floor.
It's diminishing her story, number one. And because even though no one is talking about it, we see quick shots of the police report where it says that this guy broke into her house and raped her.
Yes.
So they're not going to tell us that. They're just flashing it on the story. So while everyone is on their phones, we're missing that
detail.
But
I'm like, why did they not want to, like, that's a very, why don't we get to know that?
Then Kenda has the nerve to say, well, now it's time to arrest him for murder and attempted murder, but not the rape.
Right.
And like, this document, I think it's insane. And I think that this documentary didn't have the decency to make it clear what he did. And this very brave woman is coming forward, like, and helping them solve the case, because without her, we wouldn't know who this guy is or have a name.
Right.
So then to throw, like, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, she was raped.
I know. And by the way, he says, and in my experience, that's true. Kenda.
Like, Kenda.
I was like, can somebody get eyes on Mrs. Kenda, who doesn't get a first name?
He just said... I almost destroyed my family, but a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so...
He loves cars more than his family.
Patriarchy, man. Gets
it
every time.
I know,
so the cops arrest this piece of shit.
The girlfriend gives an address. They go there.
We're only saying the girlfriend because we don't know her name.
Yes.
And like, I think, again, she was very brave to come forward. How were they going to get his name without her?
No, they were going to drive up I-25 for 5,000 miles.
The third woman in a row to give them information that they didn't have before.
Also, like, this piece of shit coward is taken without a fight. I would like, there was something about it that I was just like, fucking typical.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm so glad that he was, but it was like he presents like such a tough guy. And like, the cops show up, he literally turns around and just puts his hands behind his back.
Nothing says coward loser like the loudest car on the street.
Merch, do we get that? Can we get that at merch, please, today?
Is anyone, really, really ask yourself, has anyone in the history of the world ever heard a fuck-ass, loud-ass car like that and went, ooh.
No, right.
That guy
no.
must be confident.
Right.
Secure.
Yeah, makes a ton of money.
Never mansplains.
Totally.
Like, no, you're like, oh, what a loser. Shut up.
Fucking loser.
You're ruining everyone's 5 minutes at the very least, maybe everyone's day.
And so, like, this is where Ken that tells us he gets this guy's crime record. He says
he has a criminal history you can measure in pounds for violent crimes, sex crimes, narcotics, you name it, he's involved in it in huge ways, in huge numbers.
In huge ways and in huge numbers. Like, this is a really, really bad
fucking
guy.
They give us two examples.
Yeah.
One Of the two times he was in prison, he beat another inmate almost to death with a sledgehammer, and it took six guards to pull him off. And I'm like, and then you let him walk among us?
That's what I'm saying. Wonderful. Like, the first time he beat this guy almost to death with a sledgehammer, but they let him out anyway.
Right.
What?
Another example is that allegedly he comes across someone, like the killer,
yeah,
sees someone being arrested, and the person is resisting arrest. And then I'm like, cool. So yeah, he walks up and shoots the person in the head because he wants to like help the cop because he's so pro cop and kills the guy. I couldn't find anything about this.
Okay. Cause I was like, but then there was no consequences for this.
It's an insane thing to include without any information or evidence or follow up to what happened to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how true the story is. I couldn't find anything on it.
Kenda, can we trust you or can we not trust you?
And also, I didn't need any of these things to know that I hate this guy. Yeah. Either of these two examples.
Totally.
And the examples actually make law enforcement look like a bunch of weakling assholes. So it took six guys to pull him off in prison, and then he got out of prison and he's walking among us,
right,
to rape people and have violent crimes. And then he like is so pro cop. He was like, oh, let me kill this guy for you, bro. And what? You just said thank you and let him on his way?
Let him just let him go in his muscle car?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
I can't even trust that this happened.
So he's being questioned about the Hampton robbery. He says, like, this guy wants to tell his story. This
can't
guy's
wait.
Not trying to, he literally can't wait.
He tells Corsentino he's had the gun, bought it in Denver, kept it in his glove box. He needed it for a rainy day. Oh, really? What's your definition of a rainy day, Mr. White?
Kept it in his glove box for a rainy day.
Yeah, confirms that Robert Martinez, the security guard who survived, everything Robert said was true.
Yeah, he literally says he killed him because he was offended. The security guard walked in the middle of the armed robbery, didn't have the decency to pull his gun on the guy. Although in the newspaper account, it said that the killer said to the security guard, I know you have a gun, don't even go for it.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is the true story here?
Exactly. Basically, we learn that this guy is just a murderous rapist piece of shit. Like,
yeah,
there's no why for this other than he wanted to kill people.
And brag about it, because the Pueblo cops, because now it's Kenda's turn to go interview him, and the Pueblo cops say if this guy killed Victor Wood, he'll confess because he loves to see the look on your face when he confesses.
And that's what happened, because like, he definitely killed Victor Woods too.
Kenda goes in to interrogate him, and he gives us, like, he sets the whole scene for us. And he says he sits down and he's trying to build a rapport with him. He's like, what do you like to be called? He's like, call me Ronnie. And he's like, call me Joe. And he's like, great. Like, we've established a rapport. Kenda asks him if he smokes. This guy looks up at the sign on the wall and says, well, I do, but there's a sign that says no smoking. I'm like, this is the rule you're going to follow?
The one thing. And Kenda's like,
people,
don't worry, I got your back.
Kenda literally goes, I kind of run this place. Kenda describes putting the cigarette in his mouth.
And I said, oh, you need a light, don't you? And I kind of laughed. Yeah, he said, yeah. So I threw the lighter at him. When he opened his hand, there's a pink scar running across his palm.
Tossing him a lighter so he can flash the look at the palm. I'm like, Kenda.
We know,
like,
it was him.
How much of this are we supposed to believe?
And this is when Kenda's like, bet you got that scar when you killed Victor Woods, didn't you? And the guy's like, that's exactly how I got it. Want to hear what I did?
He cannot wait to tell his story.
And Kenda didn't have to ask anything else. He just starts monologuing. He was asked that one question. He's off and running.
Yeah.
And what he says is, it's just horrible. Like, Victor Woods was at the bar. This bar fight happened. The killer jumps at the chance to offer Victor a ride home.
Yeah.
And does, and like, brutally murders Victor Woods at his home for no reason. None of these have any rhyme or reason at all. No motivation, nothing.
Kenda has said that kind of throughout. Like, this is the only serial killer Kenda's ever met in his life. And he's like, the thing that's terrifying about serial killers is they don't need, like, the kill is the thrill. They don't need a reason. I was thinking about, like, Israel Keyes and how he would, like, fly 500 miles and drive 600 miles so that he would be, like, he could never be connected back to the crime.
And also, like, Paul Vasica, the torso that was found by the rancher, and then we found then his full body. I didn't mean to just describe him as the torso. I'm just, we got a lot of stories here at once.
Yeah.
But Paul's sister, Robin, told them about the steroids and the dangerous crowd and, like, the drug dealing. And so Paul knew the killer. They did drugs together. They sold drugs together. And they get in a fight over $1,500.
Because the killer believed that Paul stole $1,500
from him. It's like a drug-fueled paranoia.
Yeah, that definitely didn't happen. And then they described the killing. Like, this is his friend, like, his lifelong friend. These guys grew up together. Yeah. He drives him out to that remote area where he gets him on his knees at gunpoint to his head and tortured him for an hour.
And he tells the story like it was nothing, because to him it was nothing.
It was
nothing.
He's
an evil piece of shit.
Yes.
And so, like, the killer says, I've killed so many people, I don't even remember them all. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But Kenda's like, there's no reason not to believe him. Like, Kenda says he's the most evil person he's ever met.
Yeah. Yeah. Kenda says that he thinks he's good for like 15 murders.
Yeah. I would believe that. Sure.
But ultimately, Kenda's like, well, it doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what I can prove. And so, you know, they go to court and this white guy pleads guilty, White being his last name, pleads guilty to the murder of Victor Woods, Raymond Garcia, Paul Vasica, and the attempted murder of Mr. Martinez, the security guard, because they were the only four cases that they could prove that he was involved
with. And he, like, happily confessed, and now he's screaming at everyone in the courtroom.
And he says to everybody, I'll kill all of you sons of bitches, and I'll kill your kids too. And everybody in this room is recoiling from this guy.
Threatening to kill their kids and smirking at the victims' families.
He's calling the judge a stupid son of a bitch when the judge gives him a life sentence. He's like, bitch, I don't want life. I want to be killed.
How many times do we have to say it? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. You're going to rot in prison before you rot in hell. You ugly, insecure fucking loser.
It's hell's waiting room, girl.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bye. Hope you wait there forever. Can't wait for you to rot for eternity.
Okay.
I hope you're miserable.
Oh my God. Girl, we did Homicide Hunter, Devil in the Mountains.
Yep, a joke and a joint.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Fam, don't forget to join us on the YouTube. Over 550,000 YouTube subscribers. It's insane. Our YouTube is so fun. It's so wild. We have a really good time over there. It's True Crime Obsessed Podcast on the Tube of YouTube.
Yep.
We've got a Patreon. Tell them.
We have a Patreon. It's a party over there. Yeah. We have ad-free versions of these episodes. We also have like the series, the long-form series, like 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes.
There's over like 400 full ad-free bonus episodes. Not even including the ad-free versions of these episodes. Yeah. It's like, these are just the bonus episodes we do every Friday, which, by the way, we do every week.
Yeah, and we do, like, AMAs, after parties. Yeah. We take your questions. We give you advice to take with a grain of salt.
We have, with a grain of salt, for sure. We have a tier where we send you things in the mail sometimes, and we're sending out Pride cocktail shakers for the month of June.
That is also the tier where we do things like the Top Model documentary that we couldn't do on the regular feed, so we'll do, like, special episodes just for the Hero Bells.
We did all three episodes of Top Model in one episode for the Hero Bell.
You want to tell them what we're doing?
Remind me.
The Michael Jackson, the verdict, Michael
Jackson.
We're
going to do the Michael Jackson thing.
After 10 years, we have never unpacked the Michael Jackson of it all.
And the reason we're doing it on the Hero Bell tier is because we don't have time to do it on the, like you've been saying.
Patreon's stacked.
We are stacked through the fall, you say.
Yeah, yeah, at least.
So we wanted to get it done. We're going to do it there. What are we doing next on the regs?
So we are doing, it's an episode of 2020, but it's the Yogurt Shop Murders. This is season 48, episode 18. This contains the most recent updates on the case. It's the most cohesive thing. To our point about Patreon, there was a multi-part series on HBO that was not fully cohesive, and then like another episode dropped. So instead of doing 5 episodes, like we said, we don't have time on the page.
Yeah.
But we're going to do this 2020 episode that is great, tells you everything. It ends, you know, we get the truth at the end. So we're doing that season 48. Season 48.
Can you do me a quick favor?
Episode 18, yes.
Can you look into this camera? This girl is working so hard for you on our goddamn schedule. She thinks about it. No, she thinks about it every day, every week.
I think about it every day.
Stacking this shit all the time, finding the most recent, most comprehensive shit. Send her a DM telling her that you love her.
Oh, I'll tell you what else. Thank you for that. I'll tell you what else. We're doing The Shooting at Hawthorne Hill, and we're doing Maternal Instinct.
Oh, Maternal Instinct, I just watched
it. We're doing them all. I'm trying to move things around. We're doing Worst Ex Ever with the fucking Deadpool guy. We're doing it all.
I
promise we're doing it all, but we have like things that are stacked, and I don't want things to get outdated, but I know we have to move things around, so I'm doing my best. I promise we're doing it.
We are.
I know about it. I've watched it.
An episode a day at this
point. But I swear. So all of that is coming your way. Like, I'm not moving Hawthorne Hill, and I'm not moving Maternal Instincts, because we got to get to it. But we got to do this Yogurt Shop Murders, because that got on. Anyway, love you all. I'm doing my best for you. I really, really am. I promise.
All right, fam. We love you.
We love you. Stay safe, please.
All right, bye.
Bye. Fix your muffler. Get a muffler. Okay. Shut up your stupid car.
We believe that it was business as usual. The shift started about 7 o'clock.
It was set to close around 11 p.m.
Two of the girls had left to go to the mall and were coming to the yogurt shop.
And they were going to have a big slumber party, a big sleepover.
It's Friday night. They're wanting to get out of there.
And the girls were all picking up, cleaning up the yogurt store.
something horrific and evil was about to walk in that door.
They were supposed to be home by 11, but they were already dead by 11.